About one out of every 40 cars and trucks in the U.S. can now run on a commercial mix of gasoline and ethanol, which is mostly made from corn. Ethanol enthusiasts, such as corn growers and the politicians who represent them, would like that number to rise. The federal government is helping with subsidies for ethanol, but there's an unresolved problem. The question of whether ethanol really reduces our dependence on other forms of energy, such as oil or coal. NPR's Christopher Joyce has the latest on a stubborn debate.
The Citgo gas station on West Street in Annapolis is one of four stations in Maryland that sells E85 fuel, 85% ethanol and 15% gas. Manager Juan Kang says the regular gas pumps get a lot more use than his single ethanol pump.
We sell regular gasoline 1,500 gallons a day. This is 20 gallons a day.
But Kang says when gas prices were high last year, 10 times as many people bought ethanol. The question is, did that switch reduce America's consumption of oil and other polluting fossil fuels? Well, that depends on how you add up the amount of energy needed to make ethanol.
Do you include the lunch that the farm workers eat as an energy input?
That's Daniel Kamen, physicist and energy expert at the University of California at Berkeley.
Do you include the energy to build the factory, to build the tractors? You can spend a lot of time on stuff which is sort of secondary. Part of this is really a quibble over numbers. But it does boil down to a really critical thing, and that is, do we do better from a national security perspective, from an energy perspective, and from a greenhouse gas and global warming perspective by burning gasoline or by growing a biofuel and putting that in our tank?
Kamen and colleagues at Berkeley think we do. His team reviewed the main studies on ethanol and energy, updated the figures, and tried to standardize the energy inputs, things like the energy needed to make fertilizer or electricity and anything else you need to either refine gasoline or ferment ethanol. Their result?
We found unequivocally that it does not take more energy than you get out of the amount of ethanol, so that it's a net good if you're going to grow ethanol and use it.
It's another typical pro-ethanol paper.
That's David Pimentel, an agriculture scientist at Cornell University. He is, to say the least, skeptical of the Berkeley team's research, which directly challenges his own conclusion that making ethanol takes way more energy than you get out of it.
They criticize us for including the energy for the labor, that is, the farm labor who's working on the farm. They deleted that. They also deleted a major input, that is the farm machinery.
Pimentel says when you include all the important sources of energy needed to grow the corn and make the ethanol, he lists 14 of them, you find that it takes 70% more energy to make a gallon of ethanol than you get out of it. Since much of that energy comes from oil or coal, he says ethanol's not a good alternative. Pimentel adds that ethanol does make a lot of money for companies that grow corn. Daniel Kamen of Berkeley disagrees with Pimentel's numbers, but acknowledges that the positive energy benefit he sees in corn-based ethanol is modest.
It's not a massive savings. It's not like you put in 10% energy and you get out 100%. We find that it is somewhat better than gasoline, but it's not a home run.
And in fact, making and using ethanol does almost nothing to lessen the amount of greenhouse gases that warm the atmosphere. The Berkeley and Cornell groups do agree on one thing. Corn is not the best thing for making ethanol. Plants with higher cellulose content, like switchgrass or sugarcane, are much better. Kamen says high cellulose plants are the future of ethanol, not corn. The Berkeley group is publishing its calculations in the journal Science, and we'll post them on the web for anyone who wants to check their math. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
As the debate over ethanol continues, you can find out if your car can run on ethanol and see where ethanol pumps are located. Go to our website, npr.org.